to see you. You high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
God bless each and every one of you. You can be seated just for a moment. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Joe and musicians. Appreciate and love each and every one of you. It's certainly good to be gathered together with family and friends. Amen. And can ever, you know, we sing that song in our we sing that song in our church sometimes, and or hear it on the radio. And no matter where I hear it, I always think of you all. When I hear that song, it's just such a classic song that we always sing here. And when I sing it, I think of y'all. It's certainly good to be here with each and every one of you. Thank you to Brother Samuel Dale and Brother Wade for inviting us out. And it's always an honor and a privilege to be with each and every one of you. Thank you to Brother Bob and Sister Monica for opening up their home to us and putting up with us. And thank you again to you all. So we've certainly been keeping you all in prayer with everything that's been going through. We know there's just so much going on. It's just so hard to even wrap our minds around. But you know, God has his hand in it all. You know, you may not be able to see it, you may not be able to understand it, and we can't wrap our minds around it, but you know, the gospel is still going forth. God is still calling the bride, and the rapture, we're right on the cusp. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to go back. It's the time to move forward. So we just recently, a couple years ago, we just moved to Virginia, in case some of you don't know. So believe the same message. Still love you all, just come from a different direction. So we bring greetings to you from Brother Ron and Brother Andrew Spencer. They send their love to you. They're praying for you and appreciate you all. And Brother Ron certainly appreciates the prayer, the prayers and things that y'all have for him. And he's a fighter, I tell you what. And, you know, the doctors have their reports, but God's got his report. You know, the Bible says, who hath believed our report? You know, so regardless of what you're going through, whose report are you going to believe? So he's always got a positive testimony. Anytime you ask him how he's doing, he's doing great. He's claiming his healing. We're claiming his healing. We're claiming whatever you're going through, we believe with you. Amen. We're believing for Sister Peggy back there. She's going to have a full and complete recovery. Amen. Amen. So thankful. He's also very thankful for the prayers that y'all have, any cards or letters. He just is so thankful for each and every one. So as he's just taking his treatments right now, the doctors are considering him a miracle, even as he is now. They say they've never seen a case like his before. Because his doctor is Dr. Jesus. Your doctor is Dr. Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God uses doctors, and we appreciate each and every one. God called doctors, but God, they're God's agents, but God is a real healer. Amen. Amen. So if you'll just stand with me, if you don't mind, we'll just turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Just read a scripture here and trust the Lord. Amen. I'm trusting the Lord 2021 to be a more wonderful spiritual year than we've ever had in our lives. That's how we have to believe. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin with verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. The gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before you in prayer, Lord. And we're so thankful to you, Lord, and humbled by this opportunity, Lord, that we have, Father. Lord, may this not be another service, Lord, but may each and every one that's gathered here in this sanctuary and those that are gathered downstairs, Father, and Lord, those that are gathered by way of the internet, Father, Lord, may you bring deliverance and healing, Father, and forgiveness, and may you mend every broken situation, Father. And Lord Jesus, may we hear from you, not from man this evening, Father. And may your people, by their faith in a true and resurrected and living God, so pull on you, Father, Lord, that you'd even take me off my notes if necessary, Father, Lord, to go get this one and go get that one, Father, where truly we can say, did not our hearts burn within us as you talked to us along the way. Bless every aspect of this service as we commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This evening, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to speak on a title of Going Beyond the Veil. It's very important to go beyond the veil because, you know, man has always had a desire to see God, both believer and unbeliever. And many times that is the unbeliever's argument is, if God exists, then show him to me. Why can't I just walk in and knock on his door? And that is a desire. And, you know, God has put that desire in man to hunger for God, to have that hunger. Job even had that hunger. He said, you know, he wanted to go. He wanted to find out where God lived. He wanted to go talk to him face to face and man to man. But see, God has always desired, he's always veiled himself. He hides himself in creation. Brother Brandon preached a sermon, show us the Father, and that will satisfy us. And he would bring out how God was hidden in creation, and God was then hidden in his people, and God was hidden in his Son. God has always veiled himself. So the unbeliever, because they don't see God, how they feel like they should see God, they quit believing in God. So it's okay to have that desire, but we as believers have seen God. And we see God each and every day because God has given us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to understand. Because you cannot explain faith. You cannot show somebody and explain to them faith. The prophet, the word prophet, messenger of this age, preached the unadulterated word of God, the faith of this hour, the faith of the age to change our bodies. But he himself could not give you a revelation. He himself could not impart that faith to you. It was he ran his race, he ran his time, and now it's our time. Amen. And so he preached the word, so now it's God's grace unto his elect that when we hear the word, we receive it. And we act upon it. Because remember, you've got to hear it, you've got to receive it, and then you've got to act upon it. It's just like you've got to be justified, you've got to be sanctified, and you've got to go on to the Holy Ghost. You stop with just hearing it, and you never believe it, or you just recognize that God sent a prophet, but you don't go on with that. That does you no good. You've got to hear it, you've got to then receive it, and receiving it will then make you act upon it. Because remember, the Bible teaches us, and we were fellowshipping around about this last night, is that works, that faith is works express. Works is not going to save you, but when you have faith, your life will have the works. And then people will see your works and be able to see God in your works because of the faith that you have. Because you have the same faith that was once delivered to the saints. So God loves to hide himself. He'll hide himself in simplicity, and then he'll turn right around and reveal himself in that exact same simplicity, Brother Luis. God loves doing that. He's a master at hiding himself, and he loves it. So now Moses had met the I Am God. He had met God in a burning bush. So God, after he ran from Egypt, God had instructed him to then go back. But Moses had an encounter with God himself, and there was nobody else that was with Moses. But they had to believe the testimony of Moses. Now, it wasn't just the testimony of Moses. God gave Moses two signs to get the people to believe, and that vindicated Moses that he, in fact, was the prophet to lead them out of an exodus to fulfill the promise of God. So as they came out of Egypt, and we're all familiar with the story, there came a time where God instructed Moses on how to build a tabernacle. Because God has a provided place of worship. God wants to be approached a certain way. And that is, again, the unbeliever wants to come his way. Well, if I can't see God in my way, then I guess there is no God. If God don't answer me the way I think he should answer me, then I guess God don't answer prayer. God is God. And He has a provided way. And the way you contact God is through His provided way, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is how you approach God. So there was a tabernacle of witness, and they all had it set up a certain way. And they had an outer court, and they had an inner court, also called the holy place. Then they had the Holy of Holies. And that is where God came down, and that's where God came down the pillar of fire. And that holy presence is where a dead almond rod that was dead and dried for years and years, and Aaron had it in there. God had him prove. And they had him prove him, and he left that stick in there, and it not only budded, it bloomed, it went through its entire cycle to fruition in that holy presence of Jesus Christ, in that holy presence of God. Well, there was a veil there, and man could not go. There was only one man, a high priest, once a year could go in that veil, and he had to have a certain approach. He had to have a certain walk. He had to be dressed a certain way. He had to walk a certain way. And he could not, the Bible says, he could not enter in there without blood. God always requires blood for worship. So the high priest would go in there and he'd sprinkle for his sins, for the sins of the people, and ask God to forgive them. And God would forgive him based on his plan of redemption. Because you think of how powerful that was. It was the blood of bulls and goats. And God Almighty would look down through the blood of a bull and a goat and would cover their sin. It wouldn't completely do away with it, but it would cover it because it was a temporary way. So that was, he would sprinkle the blood on God's mercy seat that was behind the veil. So we know that that as the tabernacle of witness was really just a type of Jesus Christ. When he came, he was God's tabernacle of witness. He was God's dwelling place. He was where the pillar of fire came and rested. He was God's mercy seat. And so much can be said here, but we're just going to kind of move through it. And I know that these brothers have covered this at different times and different angles. But Jesus Christ was God's mercy seat. But when God's mercy seat came in the form of a man, he took 16 elements and he came into that body. He was God. And he was God's mercy seat, was in 16 elements, was in flesh and blood, was behind skin, was behind a beard, walked around, got dirty, got a headache, and that was God's mercy seat. But God was veiled. And 99% of Israel could not go behind the veil. And they could not recognize, they missed God's message. They missed, they did not recognize that it was God in Jesus Christ. And just like that mercy seat was the only place for mercy. In the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is the only place for mercy. You've got to get to the mercy seat or you'll die in your sins. If the blood was not sprinkled on the mercy seat in the tabernacle of witness, then God could see their sin. So when Jesus was God's mercy seat and they took God's mercy seat and they tacked him to a cruel cross. And see, a lot of things, and let me just say this here. Many times you can hear the word and you hear about Jesus dying on the cross and you hear the gospel. We cannot let it become mundane. We cannot let it become common. You hear it and you hear it, but it's the truth. Because a lot of times when you hear the word, you might hear a lot of these things that have been spoken or next weekend or as the different brothers, as they minister, you hear the word, but it's important because you can hear the same thing one day and you miss it. And then you come on the next service and God is trying to get it to you. And we're going to get to this a little later on. It's important to not be distracted by the veil. Don't be distracted with who the voice of God comes through that you miss the voice of God himself. Because God could have ordained the priests to preach the gospel. And they do in their own way. But God gave man through the foolishness of preaching. That is God's way. Amen. So whenever you hear the word, you've heard Brother Branham, you've heard the same tape over and over, but one time you really hear it. You might have listened to it before, but one day you hear it. That is when faith is quickened, Brother Zach. Amen. That is when you grab a hold of it, and that's what's important not to miss. That is like hearing your name. So they took God's mercy seat, and they nailed him to a cross. And God, as a vindication, whenever Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Now, the veil of the temple was not just a bed sheet. It wasn't just some paper thin. The theologians tell us that the temple veil was 20 feet wide by 60 feet tall. That is six stories. That's like a six-story building. And it was 4 inches thick. And God supernaturally, Brother Wade, rent that veil from top to bottom. And when he rent that veil, it exposed God's true mercy seat, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find when you read the Bible, they still missed it. Because after they killed him, after he rose from the dead, they were still partaking in Old Testament worship. Scofield tells us that that means they must have re-sewn the veil. After God supernaturally, after he supernaturally rent the veil, they passed it off as some natural, probably during the earthquake or some natural occurrence, and they went back and they sewed it together, not realizing that God was finished with that form of worship. They were too blind. They were too blind to see that supernatural renting. And when that supernatural renting opened the veil, they did not go beyond the veil and see Jesus Christ as God's mercy seat. So Jesus Christ was on the cross and he was veiled, as I said, with 16 elements of flesh. And not only did the temple veil have to be rent, but Jesus Christ's own veil had to be rent. When he was hanging on the cross, the Roman soldier literally went there with the spear and pierced the veil. He rent the veil. And water, blood, and spirit, as we know, came out of Jesus. And that was the birth of the new church. That was the birth of the church there and them elements. That was the elements of the new birth, just as the elements of the natural birth. But they couldn't recognize that that was God's mercy seat hanging on that cross. Because of the veil that God came in. And that is the problem in every age, is they cannot go beyond the veil. They cannot go in the Old Testament. They would stone the prophets because they could not recognize the word that was being veiled behind the flesh of the prophet. So the same thing's repeated in this end time. The seals hid Christ. But there was a renting. There was an unveiling. God had a prophet on the earth that he revealed his seals to. And it exposed the enemy, but it revealed Christ. But what can people see? They can only see a seventh grade education. They can only see a man stumbling over his words. They can only see, they knew something supernatural was happening, but most people couldn't grab hold of it. Because they were stuck on the veil. And even in this end time, you have people that can't get past the veil of the prophet. They can't see the God that he introduced. They can't see the God in the bride. They can't see the bride's portion in the word, because all they see is the veil. It's veiled. But you've got to go beyond the veil. You've got to go beyond the veil of your own flesh. You've got to go beyond the veil of the prophet. You got to see that Jesus Christ was God himself. Amen. And you see that people still get stuck and they still don't really understand who Jesus was. Yeah. They think he's some third person. They think he's this, that, or the other. They think he's just a prophet. Yeah. Right. The Jews to this day are still blinded. Until them two prophets go to them, they're still blinded.
Right.
Why? Because of the veil that God put on.
Yeah. Right.
Because of the veil of humanity. Because they cannot go past the veil. So the word was veiled by traditions. It was veiled by churchianity. It was veiled by false doctrine. But God sent a prophet in this end time. And it struck the veil off the whole thing. There's a quote here. I'm going to read a quote where he said, he's in plain view. Just like when the Old Testament veil was rent from top to bottom, that exposed Jesus in plain view. And they were so blind, instead of running to the mercy seat, the only place for salvation and mercy, they sewed it up and went right back to Old Testament worship. You had the prophet of God on in more of a supernatural ministry than just from the last 2,000 years or more, the most vindicated prophet ever, receiving the revelation of the seals, and you had the world going on. How many people were in the tabernacle hearing the seals being preached and went right back to denominationalism? Went right back to the world. It's always been. And we even see it today. People leaving the message. Going right back to the world. in the unveiling of God. Brother Branham says, now in one time, if a man walked through that veil, it was sudden death. It was literally sudden death to walk through that veil. Now it's death not to go through it. Amen. If you can't break that veil of tradition, break that veil of denomination to see God in His power, it's death. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat is setting in plain view. Anybody can see it. The veil is rent. Glory to God. What is the work of the ministry? To point you to that mercy seat. To say it's rent. Get to the mercy seat. Get to the mercy seat. And it reminds me of them cherubims where at first they were guarding the tree of life. And now, Brother Aaron said, they're running people to the tree of life. That is what the difference of redemption made. That is what Jesus dying on the cross did for us. So don't get caught up that it's just another church service. That it's just preaching. Well, Brother Wade is preaching. Brother Dale, Brother Bob, Brother Luis, or Brother Aaron, or whomever may be preaching. It's just another service. Every service is a call for you to come up higher. Every service is a call for you to repent if you're in that situation. Every call is for the justified to be sanctified. And whatever, it's always a call to go up. No matter how long, how many years you've been born again, every service is a call to go up higher, to be more like Him. Every service is a call. Every service is a call to a feast. But don't miss it because of the veil. Don't miss it. So the veil was torn. Spirit is precious sight, and it released life and power to the believer. It made the new birth possible. You can have what David could not have. You can have what David longed to have and could not. You can have what Abraham longed to have. All these people you read about in the Bible that are your Bible heroes, and every one of them are heroes. And they're your favorite Bible characters. You can have, or you have by the new birth, what they longed to have, what they were looking forward to. So now, by the new birth, you have access to God Himself. Remember when God came down on Mount Sinai, if even a cow or anyone touched it, they had to be killed. But that God now wants to live in you. You know, God was with them. And as wonderful as that was with the 12 disciples, He wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be in you, Brother Luis. He wanted to be in you, Brother Bob. He wanted to be in you, Sister Monica. He wanted, it wasn't enough to just be with you. He wanted to be in you. So now God is veiled in so many ways. And God is also veiled in His Word. And Christ is revealed in His own Word. Brother Bram said, and He so designed that He can hide Himself in the Scripture to the smartest theologian there is. Oh my, He can just hide Himself. Sit right there in the Scripture and you look all day long and never see it. Look a lifetime and never see it. He can just hide Himself sitting there. Now please, everywhere, let that soak in, that God in the Word can hide Himself so in the Word, there isn't a theologian or a school in the world could ever find Him. Yet He's sitting right there. It's so clear to you. It's so clear to you. And you are so excited and you go and you try and witness to someone. But if they're not ordained to life, you can't quicken it to them. You present it to them. And then it's between that individual and God. Because your coworkers or your own family can stumble by the veil. If they're not stumbled by your veil, then they're stumbled by the veil of the prophet. They're stumbled by the simplicity of the gospel. They stumble at the veil of the letter of the word. So Brother Bram teaches us that the prophets were deity veiled. Now, it's not about the flesh that was deity, but it's the word that they carried inside of them, Brother Dale, that was deity. So that was the problem with Israel. Like I said, they could never identify the prophets for who they were. They would stone them. They would saw them asunder because of the veil. Because of the veil that was hiding the word. They could not see past that veil. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, that stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God, he said, in type, Moses coming from the presence of God with the word of God for that age. Right. Now watch. He said, we're now in Exodus 19. Don't miss this now. Exodus 19, Moses is coming from the presence of God. Moses is coming from the presence of God. He has been into the word. The word has been wrote, and he in the presence of God with the word. He had the word for that age. There is a word for each age. And Moses coming forth, his face shines so. See, the word was in him, ready to be manifested, give out to the people. And Brother Branham had read his text there. I believe it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The true word, God had wrote it, and it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He was the word to them. He was the living word. Hid, veiled himself. God, Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Why? He was that word. Amen. Until that word was made known, Moses had to veil himself. Amen. He said, do you see it? Wherever the word is, it's veiled. And don't ever, believer, son or daughter of God, shortchange yourself for what's inside of you. Don't ever shortchange yourself because of the faults of your flesh, of what you're really tabernacling inside of you. Because remember, our flesh is not redeemed. Our flesh is not born again. But Satan will have you so busy looking at your flesh, you do not realize what you're carrying. He will give you spiritual amnesia as soon as he can, that you forget who you're tabernacling. That you are literally, as a Messiah, you're like literally a mini tabernacle of witness. And God, despite what your flesh says, despite what your human spirit said, the pillar of fire, God himself deals with your soul on the inside. In that throne room that God reserves only for he and you to dwell. But you're walking around clocking in your job. You're walking around working your business. You're driving around delivering the mail, whatever your trade or business may be. But you're a born again son or daughter of God, tabernacling deity himself. Now, Moses had the word. Now, remember, after the word was manifest, and I want us to hold this in mind because we're going to come back to the statement of the prophet. He said, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. Israel couldn't deify. That's why God did away with his body, so they couldn't raise an idol in the image of Moses. He was a word prophet of that age. But he was not acting. Remember, he got out of control when he smote that rock, when he should have spoken to it. And that kept him out of the promised land. So Moses was Moses when he did that. But when he came down with the Ten Commandments, Brother Branham taught us that he took the place of God. Because Moses had the word. And the word was getting ready to be delivered. See the difference? But then after the word was delivered, he was Moses again. He had his habits. He had his own temper to deal with. He had his own faults. He had his own failures. He was Moses. But when he got that word, when God spoke to him, the people had to listen. Remember, God swallowed up the earth for people that came against that prophet. And what do you see? What are we seeing today as people are going against this message? The world is opening up and they're being swallowed by the world because they're coming against the word, not because they're coming against a bootlegger son, a man from Kentucky. It's because they're coming against God's prophet. It's because they're coming against his message. God will defend his message. God vindicates his message. So Moses, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again, see? But while the word was in him to be give out, he was God. Amen. Now you got to have spiritual understanding to understand that statement. Right. Remember when people say, well, whenever someone was trying to come and set a trap for Brother Branham, they said, people make a God out of you. And what did Brother Branham say? Is that far from the truth? Is that far off from the Bible? But when you have spiritual understanding, you don't make a God out of Brother Branham. He was God. Well, he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him till that was over. He had that word with him. So therefore, when he come, the people turned their heads. They couldn't understand. They had been changed. He was a different fellow. He come with that word, and he put a veil, the Bible said, over his face, for he had the word, and he was the word to them.
Right.
Your prophet said that you are the final voice of the final age.
Amen.
You're the word. We are the word incarnate to our generation.
Right.
We are the manifestation of the word.
Right.
The prophet of God said a bride would be here. The Bible said the bride would be here.
Amen.
Is she here?
Amen.
That's a vindication of the word. That is, but she's veiled. You like to eat. You like to sleep. You like to go on vacation. You get sick just like the rest of the world. But is it what do you have on the inside of you? That's that resurrection power. Before the resurrection power, you know, raises the saints that have passed on, it first raised them from their new birth, from their first birth, I mean. That resurrection power. So the same applies to every prophet, to every word prophet of every age, when they have the word to give out. While Moses was in the mountain receiving the word, the nation of Israel was sinning right at the foot of the mountain. While Brother Branham was in the mountains receiving the word of the Lord, having a visitation of seven angels, the world was sinning. Tucson went on, and Flagstaff in that area went on like it ever did. It didn't change the amount of lies. It didn't change the amount of adulteries. It didn't change the amount of all these things. But yet God was dealing with his prophet. Let's go to Exodus 32. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables.
Amen.
Revelation 5:1, the Bible says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." In Exodus, Moses tells us that when he had the tables, they were written on both sides. I'm going to read a quote where Brother Branham types the commandments when he brought them forth as a type of the seven seals. See, they were both written within and without. And Moses came as a word of the age. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, didn't just float down. God had them in a man and spoke the word. And he had a people to receive it. Brother Branham said, "The pillar of fire appearing visibly among us, identifying that the message is right, like he did at Mount Sinai. Remember, before the true message come forth, Moses preached, and he led them out of Egypt. But there, before the real commandments was laid down, the seals was brought in. God come down before the people and proved that Moses was sent from him." That right? In a pillar of fire that Moses said he had seen in a bush and talked to him. I pray you can see a parallel between Moses and Brother Branham. Brother Branham met an angel, and the angel specifically told Brother Branham, as Moses was given two signs, so will you be given two signs. There's a connection between Moses and Brother Branham. So they're both given two signs, and they both had, when Moses went and he did exactly what God told him. He threw that rod on the ground, Brother Bob, and it became a snake. But then he didn't realize Jannes and Jambres did the same thing. Brother Branham said he had to just wait and see what God was going to do.
Right.
Brother Branham had Jannes and Jambres rise up and try and impersonate the gift that God gave him. But Brother Branham didn't just start attacking them and saying, "Don't listen to them." He said their folly was made manifest. They ended up wrecked up somewhere. And see, Brother Branham came on the scene and told us that he met an angel. And that if he'd get the people to believe him and all these different things that we know, that what would happen. And then he would vindicate the prophet over and over and over for all them years. Just as he vindicated Moses, brought them through the Red Sea, proved them over and over and over that Moses was God's messenger. And then it's like he had that capstone when he brought down the commandments. He had the law to give him. He had the word to give him. So let's drop down to verse 26. I'm sorry, let's go up to 17 and get a little background. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, 'There is noise of war in the camp.' And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Let's drop down to verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And Moses, being a type of Brother Branham stood in the gate, which is Christ. And he said, and to this generation, he said, whoever's on the Lord's side, let them gather themselves unto this word. Not unto me, the man, unto this word, this banner of the word. And who do you have but the sons of Levi come in? Brother Ram said that was a type of the bride. Don't the book of Revelation said that he will make us, that he has made us kings and priests? And we shall reign with him on the earth? Why? Because we recognize we can look past the veil. We can go beyond the veil and recognize God manifested. Because you can look beyond the veil. Now, the same applies to us in a minor way, in a Messiah kind of way. And you know, let me just also say this. That also brings to mind the importance of a true God-called ministry. Because whenever you hear the word preached, and Satan will try and attack your mind that somebody told them that this and that and this is going on and that's going on, and you miss it because of the veil. But whenever the Spirit of God strikes and is trying to deal with your situation, and you pass that off as somebody told them, or how do they know, or everybody knows it's me, you miss it. And it's God speaking to you through the veil. The minister don't know it. No one else may even know it. But because you get hung up on the veil, you miss it. So it's important to sit under a God-called ministry. That when the word comes forth, you know that it's pure and you're checking it with the word. Because the ministry don't have its own message. The ministry only speaks what the messenger has already spoken. So then that makes it deity speaking and not the veil. It doesn't make it man. But can you recognize it? Or are we so stuck on the flesh? Are we so stuck on personality? You have to look past the veil. You have to look past your own veil. You got to look past the veil of the minister, whoever's bringing the word. If not, you're going to miss it. Because the final revelation of the word ends up in the bride. The bridegroom call, Brother Ram said, will come through this. And where's it going to go? In flesh, just as it did in Jesus. The Old Testament ended up in Jesus Christ. He was a fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And the bride is the fulfillment of the word. Think, you, the born-again believer, the born Holy Ghost-filled elect child of God, is literally the manifestation of the word, just as Jesus was, by the Holy Ghost. But you could be you again. You've got to separate that. We're all still in our ways carnal. We still all have our own personalities and our own faults. But look past the veil. Look past the veil. Because everything we say must be backed up by the word. We don't have our own word. It's got to be backed up by what has already been spoken. So whenever you put the word of mouth, the word of God on your lips under inspiration and in faith, it's like deity speaking. You speak to your mountain. But then you go to work on Monday morning. And it's you again. But you just overcame devils. Not through your own flesh or through your own will or through your own power, but through the word of God. Amen. As deity veiled in flesh. But then you sisters have to go clean the house and you're you again. Still communion with God though. You brothers are cutting your grass. You're you again. The grass has got to be cut. But it's deity on that mower. Amen. Say, don't get hung up on the flesh. So when we're not speaking the word, we're us again. We can be silly. We can just fellowship. We can do this, that, or the other and do our own thing. But when you put the word of God on your lips in faith, Think about that. That is like deity speaking. The same deity that said, let there be light. The same deity that holds this entire world in orbit lives in the soul of an elected child of God. But we can get so hung up on our own flesh and we can't see past our own flesh. Well, I can't do this. That's true. You can't. But quit looking at your veil. And look at what you're tabernacling. Look at what you're tabernacling. We're all familiar with the quote, but I'll read it. He said, so when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word into his heart and places it upon his lips, while that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. But Brother William, we've heard that quote 100 times. That's true. I have too. But one of these times has got to strike faith in our hearts. Because if you just hear it, Brother Wade, and it just goes over, we believe it, amen, that's right, but it's got to grip you. And then you can speak to your mountain. Then you can speak to your situation. And you understand that it's not you. When Jesus went to Lazarus' grave, Brother Ram said, and he wept like a man, and he was sad that one of his best friends had died, but he said when he put them little shoulders back, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. That was more than a man. That was God. Because remember, when he got hungry, as a man, he got hungry, he got sleepy. But then when he said, peace be still, that was God. Elijah, the Bible says, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man. But when he walked in the face of Ahab and said, not even dew will fall. Not even dew will fall till I call for it. That was deity speaking out then. That wasn't Elijah. When he had that Mount Carmel showdown, that was deity speaking. That was God in control of a situation. But then whenever he got the letter, that threatening letter from Jezebel, and he ran, Elijah was Elijah again. You see the difference? But God was veiled in Elijah. God was veiled in Elisha. God was veiled in Brother Branham. He could sit and he could joke and he could cut up like any other man and enjoy the natural things of life. Sit around a table with his friends and tell a story about a hunt. But then all of a sudden, when Sister Hattie Wright said the right thing, God came over. God came and took control. God came and took control of his veil and said, anything you ask. What man can say that? What human being in their right mind can say, ask anything? But do you know that if God reveals it to you right now in this church, you can receive the same thing? Because we're not talking about the flesh. We're talking about God himself. You believe it. You receive it the same way Hattie Wright did. And you receive the same result that she did. You have that childlike attitude that she did of that's nothing but the truth. And you bring, and you hold whatever you need in your heart. Amen. And deity can come down and give it to you. Amen. Whether it's directly or right from this pulpit, God can give it to you. Sure. Because it's not the veil, it's not man. Nope. It's God himself that does it. Amen. After that situation, Brother Branham became Brother Branham again. Remember, I think it was Sister Hattie Wright's sister that he couldn't understand. He'd pray for her, and he'd pray for her, and he'd pray for her, and she was sick to the day she died. Because Brother Ram could only do what God gave him to do. Brother Ram said, now, I'm just your brother by the grace of God. But when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you. What if we can receive true anointed, God-ordained ministry in the same way? Right. How would that change our church services? How would that change things? Or are we just looking at the veil? That's Brother so-and-so preaching. Yep, he usually preaches this long. He usually preaches from this angle. But to really realize, because there's people that have invaded the pulpits that shouldn't be preaching. We know that. But the Holy Ghost in you should be able to discern a gift of God. Right. And when that word is coming forth and you receive it in your heart and say, that's nothing but the truth, God can give it to you. If you take it as God's voice to you, that doesn't glorify man, that glorifies God. God receives the glory of what happened to Sister Hattie Wright. What would Brother Branham say a lot about whenever that pillar of fire would come down on the river and on the pillar, in the picture of the pillar of fire that was taken over him and things? He said, I was just there when it happened. He said, now I'm just your brother by the grace of God, but the angel of the Lord moves down. It becomes then a voice of God to you. He said, maybe if I offended you by saying that, forgive me, but I felt that it might be resented. But I am God's voice to you. See, I say that again. That time was under inspiration. See, I felt bad about it the first time, but it repeated it. Brother Branham, in his humanity and his humility, apologized for it. And the Spirit of God said, don't you apologize. You say it again. Receive the word of God. That's what it's all about. You receive the word for your healing. You receive the word for the Holy Ghost. You receive the word for everything, for deliverance. You can't receive nothing from God without receiving his word. That is how you receive something from God. And if you're constantly stuck on the veil, and that can go both ways, you cannot lift man too high. God will not share his glory with nobody. God gets the glory. So our flesh is the veil that hides God in a born-again believer. It's interesting that the first veil was actually made of badger skins. Have any of you in here ever, have y'all petted a badger? Anyone petted a badger lately? They're mean. And that's how our first birth is. It's mean. It's flesh. And that's what the temple veil was made of. Badger skins, among other things. Because remember, our flesh is still not born again. Our five natural senses, our spiritual senses, or the human reasoning and imagination, all these things, that's not born again. You'll think things and imagine things and remember things that aren't of God. But that's why you've got to have the Holy Ghost in there to bring you right back in. Bring you right back in check. That's what matters, the Holy Ghost. Because if not, that's what makes people do things, all kinds of crazy things. They don't have the tie post. All they have is their flesh. And that's a miserable condition to be in. To just not have a tie post and just do what your flesh feels. To do what runs through your mind. To act, to fly off the handle. Now, we still make mistakes because we're human. We have a Heavenly Father that forgives us. Brother Ram said in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, here it is, hold it tight. The veil, talking about the flesh, is what keeps us from living the way we should. Veil is what keeps us from doing the things that we really want to do. And Paul covers this. When I want to do good, evil was right there. And God became veiled in flesh, and the veil was torn in two. And God became God again, and he raised up that veil that he hid himself. That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, proving to us that in this veil that we're now hidden by faith, we believe it and accept it. But when this veil is torn in two, I'll go in his presence with this assurance, knowing that I know him and the power of his resurrection. At the coming of the Lord Jesus, this veil will be raised up again in a perfected way till I'll walk and talk with him as my Savior and my God when he takes the throne of David, and we'll live forever in this veil after it's been perfected. But this veil still has sin in it. Don't ever think of that glorified body in this earth. It's got to die, same as your soul has got to die to be born again. Before, we can't see him in these bodies, naturally speaking. We've got to be changed first. This natural veil has got to be rent. Just like Brother Ram said, your soul has got to be born again. At first birth has to be rent. So our flesh... We're speaking in Bob Monica's house there about angels and the presence of the Lord and things. And it's our natural, it's our flesh, and it's our senses that's keeping us from seeing the angels of God encamped right here. It is our flesh that keeps us from seeing Jesus Christ himself walking through these aisles. It's our natural senses that keep us from seeing the pillar of fire in every service. Now, God will allow us in his grace, can still allow you to see them things. And open your eyes to them things, but it doesn't change the fact that he's not here. It doesn't change the fact that his guardian angels are not always encamped about you, because he promised he would. We go by the word, not by what we see. Paul said he dies daily. So our flesh must also be torn so that Jesus can be seen in us. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the veil or in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love this quote. Brother Ram said, and I know. And they have to have a crucifixion before you can have a resurrection. And this is a wonderful quote to read right around New Year's as we're thinking about the new year. I'm trusting God for things that I've just never experienced. I want new heights. I want greater heights with him. I want to know him more than I've ever known him before. I want to be so sensitive to his spirit to where if he's pleased, I know it. If he's displeased, I want to know why and repent. And that's possible. That's not just for ministers. That's not just for brothers. That's for housewives. That's for children. That's for single. That's for young single brothers, single sisters. That's for everybody. You can have it. He said, and before the church will ever be able to see a resurrected power, before I can ever see a new ministry take place myself, before you can ever enter into a new fellowship with God, there has got to be a self-crucifixion so that there can come a resurrection. We've got to die out to our own thoughts, die out to our own ways, die out to everything that's around us, go through the trials and tribulations, that we might see a new resurrection, a new life. Before a sinner can ever become a Christian, there has to come a death, then a resurrection. Nobody in their flesh or in their veil loves trials and tribulations. But you know, the only way to get from one mountaintop to another is go through a valley. And that's where the character of God is made. We all want God's character. We all want to be just like Jesus. But you're not, you don't become like Jesus on the mountaintop. You become like Jesus in the valley. On the mountaintop, you ever look back and say, thank you, Lord. I can see where I'm more like you than I was on that other mountaintop. And back in the valley you go. Back in the valley you go. So we must look beyond our own flesh and human spirit to see God working in you and in each other. We cannot get, as it keeps getting repeated, you cannot get so hung up on your flesh. You cannot get so hung up on what someone said to you or what someone did in the flesh. Right. Were they in the flesh? Yeah. Right. But you can't get hung up on it. Right. You got to look past that. You've got to see their intentions. You got to see the God that's on the inside. Amen. They need more of God, but so do you. So do I. Amen. We all need more of God. Amen. Everybody needs more of God. So let's not get hung up on that veil. In Romans 10:6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. A Holy Ghost filled believer gets sick, or there's someone in their home that's sick. They can't get a hold of the pastor. Well, no, what am I going to do? How am I going to get God here? How am I going to bring deliverance to this person? On, the word of God is nigh thee, right, and even in thy mouth. Amen. Well, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter. No. Well, I'm not a brother. It doesn't matter. Amen. I'm not a grown up. It doesn't matter. Amen. You have God. Amen. If you're born again, you've got the deity of God in you. Right. It's not where am I going to go to find God? How am I going to bring God on the scene? Paul said, he's nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preached. He's with you. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. But if you're always putting yourself down and you're allowing the devil to put you down, you think of a parable of someone that you've got the king with you. He's your personal bodyguard. Yep. All right. But yet you're always walking in fear. But yet you've got the king himself is by you. Amen. And he's not only by you, he's in you. Amen. But you're always looking for God somewhere else. Yeah. That's right. Because Satan keeps beating you up in the flesh.
Right.
Satan keeps beating you up in the flesh.
Yes.
And he keeps working you around your emotions.
Yeah, right. Yep.
But you've got God in you.
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost, you have God in you. He's nigh you. He's in your heart.
Amen.
And he's waiting to be called on the scene.
Amen.
The disciples are on a boat. And they were testifying. They were testifying about all the things that God has done. They were so excited. They seen God, Jesus, do so many things, and how he fed the 5,000, and how he healed the leper, and how he delivered legion, and all these different things. And then their own storm arose. And they got so distraught of trying to bail all the water out of the boat and trying to row the boat to land and this and that, they forgot who was in the boat with them. They forgot that the King of Kings, that the God who created the water that Satan had stirred up was in the boat with them.
Amen.
And they began to cry and they began to fear and they began to think they were going to die. And that's what Satan's intention was. But they remembered who was in the boat with them. You've got to remember who's in your boat. You've got to remember who resides in you. And you've got to wake him up. You've got to wake him up.
Right.
Brother Ram one time even typed it like he's sleeping between revivals. Mm-hmm. And you can get caught up in the flesh and you can just go a long time. And you've got to remember who's in your boat.
Right.
Who's in your soul.
Right.
If you have God in your soul,
right,
it doesn't matter what storm Satan tries to put you through.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you're going through in life.
Right,
wake Jesus up.
Glory.
Wake him up in your boat.
Amen.
How do you wake him up? Prayer.
Yes, right.
Faith.
Yes, right.
Attendance to his word.
Right, right.
And you wake him up. And he'll stand on the brow of your boat.
No, right, amen.
And he'll speak peace to your storm.
Yes, amen.
He'll bring you deliverance.
Yes, amen, right.
But you've got to wake him up.
Amen.
You've got to wake him up.
Amen.
Brother Bram said in Awakening Jesus, he said, you know what he's doing? He's here tonight waiting to be proved. Now, don't think of this in 1963. He's here on December the 31st, 2020, after a rough year for the world. And he's waiting to be proved. That's right. You know what you ought to do? You ought to do like they. Wake Jesus that's in us. Wake Jesus in your own lives. The God that sets your soul afire with the Holy Ghost. The God that taken these blinded eyes of mine, opened them up. The God that raised me off of a deathbed. The God that I seen bring the dead back after being dead for hours. The doctor pronounced dead and write a statement to it 5 different times. Wake him that God. Wake him up. We ought to call Jesus on Jesus and wake him and call him on the scene. We have need of him. Yes, sir. How many have a need of the Lord? You've got a need of the Lord. Hold that need in your heart.
Amen. Right.
And with faith, you waken Jesus.
Amen.
And if the disciples are able to wake him up in the natural, how much more can you wake him up on the inside? How much more can he respond to faith? How much more can he respond to our heart's cry?
Amen.
He said, waken that God. Waken him up. We ought to call on Jesus and wake him and call him on the scene. We have need of him. Yes, sir.
Right.
Then call him to confirm his word.
Yep.
If we wake him up, get him stirred up in us till our own doubts and frustration has passed away. Now call him and say, Lord, you promised a little while and the world would see you no more.
Yep.
And I'm not of the world. You pray that I'd be not of the world.
Right.
And I'm not of the world. I'm yours. And you said the world will see me no more.
Yep.
Yet you'll see me. You'll see me. Lord, I want to disturb you.
Yeah.
I want to arouse you out of my own sleeping body,
Amen.
My own sleeping heart
Amen.
Of these realities. Waken, Jesus.
Amen.
Come to me.
Amen.
Then the doubts and fears will cease.
Amen.
And you can be backslidden.
Yeah.
Maybe not talk to him for a long time. But he's still there.
Amen.
Right where you left him.
Amen.
He's still there.
No doubt.
Go to him. Wake him up.
Right.
And he'll rise on the scene. They recognize if they would have been stuck on on not knowing who he was.
Right.
But they knew who to run to, Brother Wade,
right.
in a time of trouble.
Right.
They knew that body, that whatever 5 foot something frame, that frail looking frame that looked to be 50 years old or more. They knew that that body tabernacled the God of Abraham. Amen. They knew that tabernacle bodied, he was the Messiah.
Yep. Right. Amen.
They weren't hung up on his flesh.
Yep.
It's time we as message believers go beyond the veil.
Amen.
It's time that we as message believers go beyond just the natural things.
Right.
It's time that we as message believers go just beyond the letter of the books or maybe just the sound of the prophet's voice. Go into what he said. Go into who he introduced. Go beyond that veil.
Glory.
Now we know that God, Brother Branham said that God ordains his prophets in certain ways, in certain personalities to catch the people. But go beyond that. Go beyond the God that he introduced. Go beyond the veil of your own flesh and awaken Jesus.
Right,
don't get stuck on flesh.
Right,
look beyond that.
Amen.
Because the God of heaven, the God that you think the prophets were deity, veiled.
Right.
And with the, think the very, when they would say, thus saith the Lord, that wasn't thus saith the prophet.
No. Right.
That was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
So whenever you repeat, thus saith the Lord, it's not, thus saith Brother Terrence. If he's speaking what has already been spoken as thus saith the Lord, it's still thus saith the Lord. It's still deity rolling off of our lips. You think what a mighty God we serve. You think of what a mighty God that he would take clay, that he would take humanity, and he'd make a way that we can be born again, fallen sons and daughters of God. He'd make his brother Zach a way that we can be born again, and he would actually speak through our lips. And if you can look past the veil, if you can look past the messenger, if you can look past the flesh of one another, you can hear from God. If you can look past the veil of one another, you could be out there fellowshipping and God can speak to you. God doesn't quit speaking when the minister steps off. When the songs go forth, God's still speaking. When a brother comes up here, bows his heads and prays, God is still speaking. When y'all come in and get settled in and start getting y'all's minds on the Lord and they play the portion of the message, God is speaking. God is speaking from the moment you walk in and he don't quit speaking. He should be speaking to you and you should be speaking to him before you walk through the doors and you come expecting. If you just come with your mind filled up with things of the world, and we all have to get cleansed, we all have to forget about tomorrow, we all have to forget about what was done today, and we've got to ask God to help us to get our minds in a mindset to receive the Word. To receive the Word and not just see a brother standing here speaking the Word, but to realize that that's for me. That's the Word of God that he's speaking. So God help us as I just begin to close. God help us in this new year and this end time. I just have a thirst for God like I've never had before, and I believe you do too.
Amen.
Or you won't be here till midnight.
Amen.
To have a thirst for God like we've never had before.
Glory.
And there's many things we don't understand with all this COVID and all these things we have to do to just make a way. But God sees your faithfulness.
Right.
It's not convenient for anyone to wear a mask. It's not convenient for anyone to not be able to fellowship like they want and all they do these different things. But God sees your faithfulness, that you're still in the house of God. You're still pulling on the gifts of God. You're still here supporting the church. God sees it, and God recognizes it. You're not getting stuck on the flesh. Well, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for everybody. But God is still making a way. God's gospel is still going forth. Souls are still being saved. People are still getting the Holy Ghost. This message is still being translated. This message is still being sent around the world. God is still getting his bride ready. Regardless of how many masks they try and, you know, the governments and things may make us wear, God is perfecting a bride, and we're going to be without spot or wrinkle. Now, God is not looking at your flesh when he said that. He's perfecting the inner man. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll go to him in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before you in prayer, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings, Lord, and we're so thankful to you, Lord, for the things that you brought us through this year, Father. Lord, we've seen many things, Lord, come this year, Father, Lord, but Lord, you weren't surprised at all. You knew before the foundation of the world, Lord, the things and the challenges that we would face, and you knew every trial that we would face before the foundation of the world. And how thankful we are to you, Lord, that you're in the, that you're in our boat, that you're in our soul, Father. And Lord, if there's a single person, Lord, under the sound of my voice, Father, maybe even on the internet or wherever they may be, that may hear this, Father, may they, Lord, realize, Father, that it can be them too, Lord. They can have the presence of God. They can have God himself in their souls, Father. You've made a way, Father, Lord. And Lord, you, as your prophet said, you've got the cherubims and you've got them. They're running us to it, Father. Lord, once it was a protected thing, but now, Lord, you're running us to it, Father, the true tree of life. Father, we thank you for everyone that's gathered here. We thank you for their love for the word. We thank you for the ministry here, Lord, and pray that you bless the entire ministry team. Bless Brother Samuel Dale, Father, Lord, Brother Wade, and all the ministers, Lord, that help. And everyone that puts the song leaders and all the brothers and the sisters and all those, Lord, that do their part, Father. Lord, you don't forget a single one, Lord, even those that may feel, Lord Jesus, that they're not seen. Lord, you see them, Father.
Amen.
You know every little thing that each and every one goes through, Lord, and we just commit our lives to you anew, Father, in this new year, Lord. We're excited about the things you're going to unfold to us, Lord. And we pray that this year we'll even hold the translation, the resurrection. Come, Lord Jesus. Take us out, Father, Lord. But however long, Lord, that you predestinated, Lord, that you tarry, help us to be a voice. Help us to be a sign, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be the very manifestation of this hour. We love you and we ask you to bless your bride across this nation around the world. We give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. Where would we be without you, Lord? We love you and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Dale.
Because it'll reveal the time that we're living. Will be made manifest. Amen. So you just make sure you tell him what you that you appreciate the message and the things he's brought tonight and appreciate them, you know, the family coming and everything. So let's just sing a little bit and then we'll turn it over to Brother Joe and let it go. So, you know. Come on, musicians. And then we'll turn it over to Brother Joe, and then we'll sing on till midnight. And we may do like we done that time. You remember, we didn't have a preacher one time, and I just didn't feel led to get one. And I told the church, I said, we're going to have a strange watch night service. I said, we're going to have a testimony meeting. We're going to have singing of songs and worshiping and doing the things and all. And we're not going to have no preacher to preach. We're going to start, and we're going to go right through. So I told Wade and them, I said, y'all better get ready because we're going to have about three songs and maybe one or two testimonies. And 9 o'clock, you're going to have to somebody's going to have to preach till 12. So you got to get ready. So everything was set in order and all. And when we got started on the fellowship time and the testimonies and things, they motioned to me that it's 12 o'clock. I said, let it go. 1:30 in the morning, we took communion. That was a night of my joy because everybody in the building was singing, worshiping, and just having a great time. And ending the year out, starting anew, and it was a great thing to be done.
Amen. We thank God to be in his house. Thank the Lord for his grace, his mercy, and his kindness. We certainly appreciate that message, brother. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for this year. It's been his grace, kept our family through this year, through many changes, certainly with the kids getting bigger and everything that they're facing. But we thank God. You know, I thank the Lord earlier this year. I mean, I would say the past 5 years has just been his hand leading our family. You know, about in 2015, the Lord just was dealing with me and my family real strong in Maryland. You know, just, I mean, we really felt like the rapture was going to happen. That's for sure. But we knew God was doing something. He was making a change. And we started traveling around the world, and we ended up here. God brought us back to Atlanta. Amen. Amen. And, of course, you all know the testimony earlier this year when we were packed and ready to go. And this is the first time in 5 years that we hadn't traveled. The Lord kept us here the whole year, and I thank God for it. I thank you for his grace. Amen. So we just want to praise the Lord and lift him up tonight. Amen.
I breathe. Yeah. this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily prayer. This is my daily prayer. Your very word spoken to me, and I
good tonight, brother.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want. for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty.
African time. We're going, you know the song, it's at Calvary.
Years of spent in vanity, and but in a language that you don't know. All right. I think we'll see. Muda mwingi nilipotea, sikufahamu msalaba.
Persuaded that Mercy higher than the heavens. redemption. Never can a mortal know. Though my sins be red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. Soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
That is higher than I, for you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. That is higher than I, for you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings.
Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for your mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again. We need wisdom, we need power, and true love for each other. We have had so many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Bring your people to a state of kingdom life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary deeds, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow. You see your tired servants and your broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross as the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your
sheer desire, that lily stand up higher. Make me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on. Yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely he will meet my every need. How can I give up when he fills my empty cup? Keeps me press on. Yeah, I'll press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. Oh, away, and it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Make me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. Whoa, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. I'm gonna press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Thank you. actually me and Tony's going to sing. No, we just couldn't find enough time for Esther to, you know, work us in, so, you know. No, I'm going to testify. It's more of a trying to embarrass people and testify and all this at the same time. So we're going to talk about something. Some of you are going to laugh. Some of you are going to cry and whatever. But it's about, the title of it is called The COVID Cocktail. You'll understand that a little bit later on. As we all know, you know, Mom and Dad both had to, look at Mama, she had that COVID, and, you know, Mom, she had it more in her up here, and it didn't bother her as much. Of course, she went to the hospital. She's still having trouble with it. But, you know, Dad took care of her all that time, and we never even went in the house down there. We never went in, not a one time. We didn't get around them or nothing, and Dad took care of her. So then Dad got it. It was on a Sunday. It was like a kick. Pretty much it was like a kick in the gut, because I thought he was just sick, like he'd get sick, you know, coughing and trying to get some attention and stuff like that. But then he went and got tested, so I had to say, well, you know, he had it. So I was supposed to do this about a month or two ago, but I didn't do it. And then, you know, through the time of Monday through Thursday, Dad was sick, Mom was taking care of him. Of course, I'm going to tell you this. Don't never get my mom to be your nurse. If she was your nurse, y'all were in trouble. Of course, we knew that growing up, me and Wade and Anna. Of course, I think I was more than them, but because I tried to get out of school, I'd say, well, you know, my stomach's hurting. She'd take me to the doctor. Stick him here, get him here, get him here. You know, of course, you know, it worked some, but some of it didn't. But Mom and Dad, he'd be down there sitting outside, and Mom would be, have that little, what's that little thing called? Oxygen level, and he'd have one finger out, his mouth open like a bird, because she was taking his temperature every 15 minutes. His temperature, check, oxygen. It'd be 83. Then I'm not going to do that, but then he'd do the bird finger out, and then you check in, it'd be 91. Well, the doctor, Ruth or some of the other ones, when we appreciate Ruth McFerrin, she helped a lot. Check this finger and it'd be 91, and then 5 minutes later it'd be back in his mouth again, and this finger would be 88, and, you know, just trying to find it to get it better, you know, rub this finger, go put it in hot water and bring it out. So all that went on from Monday to Thursday, and then Mom called me on Friday. I mean, we talked to each other. We didn't go down there at all. We never went in until Friday. I went down. Mom called me. Let's see, I'm trying to read my writing that I wrote a long time ago. Mom called me on Friday. She was real upset, of course, all the time. And all that time, during the time, he'd run a temperature and, you know, he couldn't breathe and, you know, just doing crazy stuff, really. I think it was just a lot of it for attention. But one day we'll know, and he's not never going to say that. But anyway, she called me. She said, Dad, it's got the thermostat at 52 degrees in this house. Crying and, you know, all upset. So I said, well, I got to go down there. It was my first time. So I go down there. I didn't put on gloves. And we all talk about mask and all this. About that. I wore a mask every time I went in there. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, 100%, I got the COVID from him. Yeah. Because you can ask him. After that, I went to the roof of their house. Unless it was a plane that dropped it. And if you've ever been at my mom and dad's house, there's airplanes that come on every 1 minute. There's a landing area. And unless they dropped it out of that, he gave it to me. Okay, we understand that, which is fine. But I had a mask on every time I went down there and done it. But anyway, I went in down there. He got hot and set the thermostat at 52 degrees. Of course, you can imagine what that is in your house. I mean, you know, it was cold. Mom's over in the corner doing this. So I told him, I said, now look, and he knows this stuff. He knows. I mean, you don't have to. He was saying, well, if you turn the thermostat way down, then it's supposed to get colder. Yeah, right, but it don't blow no more to get to 52 than it does to get from 70 down to 69. So, I mean, he was running a temperature, and he wasn't thinking all exactly right. So the next day, let's see, Saturday, you know, we go through and talk and everything. Well, Saturday evening, Mom calls. I can't breathe down here. Daddy's done something to the thermostat again, crying, you know, all upset. So I go down there. He had run it to 80. He'd run it up to 80 because he got cold. Another day, you know, and Mom's down there, you know, out the back door, can't breathe. So we get it squared away. So I'd been down there Friday and Saturday, you know, in the house. Like I said, I masked up and everything, and that's. But then now Sunday we went down there. I don't know if we had two services, but we all went down there, and I knew something was wrong with Dad because he didn't want to come outside. I even think Hudson might even come around, and he just like, oh, I want to go back inside. What we done was is we'd get out on their back porch, and we'd set a long ways away, but, you know, we'd all sit outside and just talk, kind of give him a break, you know, try to say something crazy. Try to embarrass him like I'm trying to do now. Of course, I'll get to go to the chicken house after this. A lot of y'all don't know those stories. I'm the only one that's been there, I'll tell you that. Let's see, Sunday. And then mom called me Monday morning and said, Dad wanted to go to the hospital. So I go down there and I help him kind of get ready and, you know, and I told him, I said, Dad, let me tell you something. I said, I don't care what anybody says. You say every word you say is by his stripes I'm healed. I said, you don't listen to the doctor. You don't even, whatever they want to say, you don't listen. I said, you say it 1,000 times a day. And he left. Let's see. If I can get back squared away here, what was funny was a guy that came and got him graduated with Zach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's a boy that we all know. Wade knows his mom and dad. I mean, we all know his mom and dad and everything. Well, I didn't know this, so Anna told me. He forgot my name, but I mean, he was a manager for the football team and Zach played and, you know, but he forgot my name. So he texted his mom to find out my name. Well, we're getting Daddy in the ambulance. I helped Daddy get in, put him in the ambulance. Well, he's back there in the back. Well, when he first come out, he didn't say nothing to me. But when he came out the next time, he came out of the ambulance, so he must have got the text. He said, hey, Terrence, you know, he knew my name. What he done was he texted his mom to find out what my name was, where he could talk to us. Well, anyway, of course, Daddy can tell you this, too. They get in the ambulance. They go back out our road. Everybody knows where Dad and them live. If you go right out there to 52, you can hit 52, and you can go to Gillsville to Gainesville, and you can be there in 15 minutes. Well, this guy's driving, same boy. He backs out. He goes the back way. He turns left, goes the back road. He goes the back road. If I could just show you how far he went around. He went around 5 to 8 miles out of the way. He didn't even know where he was going, I guess, I presume. And then in the back of the ambulance, Daddy said, I was just sitting there wondering, where in the world are we going? I could have told you a better way to go. Of course, you know, the boy was kind of nervous, and he's a good kid, but he kind of got things squared away. But on Monday, Monday, I got on the roof. Daddy and them was having problems with their roof leaking on the outside, so as soon as he left, Mom went to our house. She was upset. I got on the roof and started screwing. He wanted me to unscrew. I unscrewed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I unscrewed 750 screws. Wade helped me for 5 or 10 minutes one afternoon. I had to throw that one in there. I'd put caulking and re-screw them. So I put down 1,500 screws with caulking on his roof for 3 days. We'd come up Monday. He went to the hospital, you know, was all upset and everything. Tuesday, they lost Daddy. We couldn't find, we didn't know where he was at. Nope. In the hospital. Nope. It just so happened that Ruth didn't help as much on that one. She, like I said, she helped Mom and Dad tremendously while he was at the hospital. But we've got cousins that work at the hospital, Penny and Jonna and all of them. And Anna got a hold of Penny, Rebecca and Penny, and got a hold to find Dad. They had moved him, and we called up there and they said, Mr. Dale ain't here no more. We don't know where he's at. But they had moved him, you know, and nobody knew. But John and Penny found him on Tuesday, which was kind of funny. But anyway, Wednesday, this is another trying time. Lisa called. We would call every day to the hospital, three or four times. And the doctor, when I was talking about the, when I said the COVID cocktail, and I'm not making fun of the doctor because Daddy knows the doctor was probably an Indian more. And he would tell me, he said, Terrence, we've got him on the COVID cocktail. We will get him through. He on the COVID cocktail. Every time I talked to him, and he would call. He was really good. They was good about calling. Really good. But on Wednesday, Lisa called up there, and they said, she got a hold of a nurse and said, can we check on Samuel? And they said, well, his level, they go on levels of oxygen. So his levels went from 8 to 10 and said the next level he goes is to the ventilator. Now, all y'all know what happened to Brother Ray Montgomery, and y'all don't, a lot of you may not know, but when this first thing came out, I hope I ain't taking too much time, I'm sure. When this first thing came out, 80% of the people that went on ventilator passed away. 80% of them in March, April, and all that. Now it's down to 45% now. But that was what they said. And we was on a group text. I don't get involved with that much. Wade and all them was on. So everything went to everybody. And the only thing I said was, I said no, and I meant it with a big no, and if I'd have been a sinner, it would have been something else in front of that no. I said, he ain't going on no ventilator. What happened? So, let's see, what day are we on? Wednesday, I got off the roof, of course, that's what we said, and I told him, I said, no, he ain't going on no ventilator. It ain't going to happen. So, I called the nurse. Got a hold of his real nurse, and she said, he's went from a 10 down to an 8, which was good news, really good news. I said, have the doctor call me. I mean, as soon as he can. She said, well, he ain't calling. I said, no. I said, I want to talk to him. Amen. He calls me up. Hey, Mr. Terrence, how are you doing? He's still on the COVID cocktail. But anyway, he said, I don't know where you got this information. He said, he's went from an 8 to a 5. And said he's going home on Friday. Well, Thursday morning I got up. I couldn't get out of the bed. I did get up. I felt bad. I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was, you know, something was going on. But, and then we talked to the nurse and everything, and then on Friday, me and Wade went and got him, and I should have never went. I felt terrible, and you guys, Wade, he might not even noticed it, but I didn't even get out of the car when Daddy got there. I made the nurses put him in, Wade got all the stuff. I just sat there because I was just beat. I could not even move my arms, my legs. Nothing was working at that time. Well, I stayed with him on Friday night. Shouldn't have stayed, but we started staying. And I'll tell you who the heroes are is Anna and Wade, because they stayed with Dad Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when I couldn't stay. And I'm the one that's supposed to take care of them. That's the way I feel. And they took care of them because, and it was a blessing because Anna didn't have to have school. So she could stay with them during the day, and Wade stayed every night from Saturday to Thursday. And June was an ace in the hole because if one of them got sick, she was going to have to jump in. So she stayed away. She cooked. Richard stayed away because of his work. Lisa cooked. Rachel cooked. Everybody cooked, you know, and fell in. We appreciate everything the church done. And let's get this year over with and get into 2021.
Appreciate that testimony. Well, there's only one song that comes to mind when I was listening to Brother Terrence give that testimony. Because, you know, Scripture tells us he's a present help in the time of trouble. And you know what? No matter what you go through, he'll always deliver you in your time of need.
You've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They kept on praying, they didn't worry, they were were serving a God that could not fail. Well, on about midnight, God sent an earthquake. The whole foundation began to shake. Those prison doors flew open wide, and Paul and Silas stepped outside. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire he freed. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Opened the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Now it was David, my God delivered, when before Goliath he did stand. He took no armor, he took no weapons, just 5 stones and a sling in his hand. Yes, he went running to meet that army. He met that Philistine man that stood mighty and tall. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And oh, that mighty man did fall. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire he freed. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Opened the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me.
Not exactly sure what key this is going to be in, but I'm going to do this song for Sister Joyce, because I keep getting asked the same song over and over, and I'm afraid that if I don't, I might get hurt or something. I'm going to get rebuked or something. But she's on. Hey, there's some fight still left in some of them, you know. I'll let you deal with that. Anyway, but if y'all know, I'm sure y'all know the song, but y'all just help me out.
Well, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Yes, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Well, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway, there's joy in knowing with him I'm going. Walking up the King's highway. Yes, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, and I'm walking up the King's highway.
Well, I'm gonna Brother Henry Green used to sing this. This is a song that I was singing about this earlier. And it's going to be, I think it's in key of D. Brother Richie sings it. Brother Richie Douglas, he sings this one. Brother Joe Green sings it sometimes. And you know, it's a... No matter what you're going through, you know, it takes him to keep you in this hour. And you know, this word is a sanctifying word. And it'll keep you. And no matter how many times you fall, you fail, you know, there's still a blood that still flows that'll take care of all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. And I'm so glad that there's a blood. And this song says, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, Lord, keep me sanctified. Well, here's sometimes my load, it seems so hard to carry, and it seems that in all my works I'm tried. When I've tried so hard and I've been such a failure, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, just keep me sanctified. Oh, keep me sanctified. When the storm clouds gather, when the battle gets rough, and the way seems so long, and when I've tried so hard and I've been such a failure, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, just keep me sanctified. When the messenger came to old Job that evening, and he said to old Job, all your children have died. But then I hear Job say, though God slay me, I'll trust him. Job lost everything that he ever had gained, but he stayed sanctified. Oh, keep me sanctified. When the storm clouds gather, when the battle gets rough, and the way seems so long, now when I've tried so hard and I've been such a failure, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, just keep me sanctified. Down here is all over and finished. I'll rest forever by my Savior's side. I'll praise his name forever and ever, for the way that he's always stood by me, keep me sanctified. Lord, keep me sanctified. When the storm clouds gather, when the battle gets rough, and the way seems so long, and when I've tried so hard and I've been such a failure, whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, just keep me sanctified. Whatever I do, Lord, whatever I say, just keep me sanctified.
J'ai trouvé en Jésus l'ami qui est toute chose pour moi. C'est le plus beau d'entre 10 000 pour mon âme. Il est le lys de la vallée, en lui seulement je trouve ma purification et ma guérison. Oh, il est mon réconfort dans les peines. J'atteindrai sûrement le but. Alléluia, la brillante étoile du matin, le lys de la vallée, le plus beau d'entre 10 000 pour mon âme. Il ne me quittera jamais, il me laissera ici tant que je la foi et fais sa volonté. Un mur de feu autour de moi, mais non, je ne crains rien. Mon âme enflammée s'est nourrie de sa main. Oui, un jour alors invitons la gloire pour voir sa face bénie. Là jamais couler le fleuve de délices, la brillante étoile du matin, la rosée de Sharon. C'est le plus beau d'entre 10 000 pour mon âme. Oui, un jour, alors invitons la gloire pour voir sa face bénie. Là, jamais coulé le fleuve de délices. Alléluia, la brillante de Sharon, c'est le plus beau d'entre 10 000 pour mon âme.
They were on a mission. They were thrown in prison for praying and glorifying Jesus' name. They were bound and beaten, tied up with heavy chains, but they did not worry, for they knew God would come when they called on His name. And when their praise went up and their tears came down, God in heaven stuff went in there. So he began to plead. But Paul said, do not worry now, for we all are here. And the God who delivered us this day, he can break your chains and take away all your fears. And when their praise went up and their tears came down, God in heaven looked and said, no, you'll not be bound. Those chains fell at their feet and the door swung open wide. Oh, they knew that God was always right by their side. And their praise went up. And when their praise went up, and their tears came down, God in heaven looked and said, no, you'll not be bound. Those chains fell at their feet and the door swung open wide. Oh, they knew that God was always right by their side. God is always right by our side. When our praises go up,
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me with man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better. Not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you now call me bride. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better. Turn mourning to dancing. turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
fire burning out of control.
Oh, keep it burning.
Keep your fire burning out of control. guide me. There's no stone too powerful our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me, came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story.
When you're in trouble, Jehovah Nissi, a great enforcer, God Almighty, will fight your battles. Oh yes, he will stand for you.
He will stand for you.
The victory will come, not how you think it should, but my great Jehovah just loves a paradox. Stay in your position and watch the miraculous come into action.
Our God is tremendous, his strength never failing. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, he is almighty, and he sends his angels to guide me. There's no storm too powerful our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me, came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Our God is tremendous, his strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, he is almighty, and he sends his angels to guide me. There's no storm too powerful our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me, came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story. Came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story.
Let us wind up a year and start a new one.
Amen.
He always brings everything new.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. It looks bad sometimes to us, but it's not to him. It's all new.
Yes.
Everything's good. We appreciate our brother coming and ministering for us tonight. You just tell him how much you appreciate it.
Amen.
Because I do. I believe he believes it.
Amen.
I do. I believe he believes what he preached. Because I believe what he preached. That makes it work, all work out, you know, in Christ. Amen. So then think about it as we end the year up. Now, I'm not responsible for all the things that have been said tonight. I will take the fifth and do with Ronald Reagan and say, I can't remember. Because they have told me things of me being in the hospital that I don't believe ever happened. But that's the way it goes, you know. But at least I can say, so you come up and say, well, did you do it? I say, well, I just can't remember. I can't remember. It's all past and all like that. But thank God for healing.
Amen.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Terrence was telling the story of his dad, but see, in the length of all that, he didn't tell. See, he wound up with the virus. He wound up quarantined for so many days there. And he had to stay in. The Lord took care of it, though. made everything right. Because that's what we believe in. We believe in a healer, Amen. A savior, Amen. And all. So just kind of move around, get everything ready to go. I was waiting the time because we want to go into the new year and take the part of the new year, you know, when we take the communion in the new year. But we appreciate all that's been said, done, all the music, all the singing, all the things that has transpired among us tonight. And we appreciate all of the kids and their thing. This thing, it used to be when we first started this little old building here, 1971, we had about 18 people, I guess, and something like that. And old Brother Collie, he had to go finally to learn music where he could start a song hall, because none of us couldn't sing or none of us couldn't do nothing, you know, and all. So we had to get all of that straightened up. But God's been good to us. He sent us people that know how to sing. He sent us ministers that know how to preach. Now, I'm going to say this, and she may not like it, but that's all right. Do you realize that we have one among us playing, and she sung a song tonight? She's wrote a lot of songs. She has wrote a lot of songs. She could be with Sherry and Easter. That's no joke. But yet she chose to just be herself. Still write songs. Still have a good time doing it. But just not let it run all out. Well, thank God for those type of people. Stand here and testify the things among you. And the way you came and the way everything happened. This is not no haphazard thing. It's all foreplanned, foreordained. All working out for the honor and glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Because He's the one that'll do it.
Amen.
We're promised that we don't have to worry about things. We start a year, nobody knowing what's going to take place, what could take place. But that's all right. I know who's in charge.
Amen.
I know who's going to take care of all of us.
Amen.
Everything will be done, but we just give Him the honor and the glory for it all.
Amen.
We praise Him because He's the great I Am.
Amen.
And that's something to think about, that we could know about God. I remember when I was in the Baptist and thinking about that. I read the Bible. I studied it. You know, I had a good memory and all of that. I loved the Word. But I always thought, when I'd read that about Him being killed and doing, all He ever done was good.
That's right.
All He ever done was good, and all He ever done was bad. I couldn't understand that, because we were supposed to be the religious people. And we Baptists, like the prophet said, don't tackle them Baptists because they know a little bit what they're talking about. You know that we wouldn't pay our tithes to the Baptist church. We did, but you know how we paid it? We designated it to go to missionary work. Because I had learned enough from the Word that I wasn't going to try to support a church. Still don't got that same idea. Just put everything to God and let Him take care of it. Just let Him take it. He'll take care of it. He'll show you what everything is and all about it. But we just appreciate you. Appreciate you coming. Appreciate the church people for being here. And appreciate those out there on the internet, because we're getting a lot of response from a lot of the countries and things. And never thought that ever happened, because when the brothers here, they come to me and ask me, said, why can't we go on the internet? Go ever what you call it. Y'all call the names of YouTubes and whatever. I don't know. But you know, I said, but we can't do that because first message I put out there, I'm going to get beat to death over that internet about what I'm saying. And they went on. And I said, okay. So it kept going, and finally some of them kept talking. Well, let them listen if they want to listen. If they don't want it, let them forget it. I said, okay, open up, put it on there. I thought that we would get, you know, I thought the mailbox would be stacked full of contradictory things, you know, that I'd been preached about. But you know what? I never got a one. Never got a person to write in and say you're wrong. And I thank God for that. Because I believe it's the Word. I believe He's took care of us all of these years. And everything's done Him. We enter a new year. We're here. You're passing the time now. So come on, brothers, and we'll have the communion and everything. So just do as you're told. Yeah, wait, come on. Just do as you're told and try to line up and do it, and we'll be through it all. And just everybody take care on the way home. Be careful and all like that because, you know, it is a night out there. But we're up here celebrating Jesus Christ. Amen. Let the world do what they're doing. Right? So let's just turn it over to them. Okay, man.
It's a new year.
Amen.
1201. So here we are.
Amen.
And this year, if you want, if the Lord tarries, Watch Night Service this year coming up, 2021, will be the 50th.
Right.
This will be the 50th anniversary year of our church being established in July the 4th, 1971. So we're in our Jubilee year.
Amen.
Golden Jubilee.
Right.
Not just Jubilee, Golden Jubilee will be in our 50th year. And I was thinking, we were, Joyce and I are, grew up in this church, and I was 11. Of course, she was born in the 50s, and I was born in the 60s, so she's born a whole generation before I was. But she's only from November to January older than me, but now she's older than me right now, so we can talk about her. But we grew up in this church, and it was a little bitty church, and to see this, and the participation, and to hear Michael sing, and Lord, you probably couldn't even get him to talk when they first started coming to church here, you know, and you got Michael singing, and they got all the new ones coming in, and I want to take just a thought for just a second. We've lost some this year, you know, Brother Dale Roberts, and Sister, and your mom. Then we lost
Dick Addison.
And then we lost, Esther lost her dad this year also. So it's tough, but we're one day closer to home.
Right.
We don't have to look at 2020 no more. It's 2021. We looking forward.
Right. All right,
man. So let's read this in Corinthians and take the communion. We're just going to do the communion just regular like we've always done it. So we'll just go from here back. There's no one else downstairs. So there's nobody down there to direct, so we'll just take it up here when we get finished. So thank you all, like I said before, all the support, all the singing, we couldn't even find a musician. Joyce played the piano sometimes. She was, you know, 14 years old, 12 years old, and Brother Collier led singing, and now we've got so many song leaders, and Brother Willie, we got so much support now, so it's a lot easier job, but you stay with the Word of God. He'll put the people in the place that needs to be there. Amen. And give our pastor wisdom to put them there and just let them do their job.
Amen.
So let's read this. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament. In my blood this do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." You know the old saying is what you're doing the first day of the year is what you do the rest of the year. So let's commune with the Lord. Let's take the communion every day of our life. Make a recommit. It's like Brother Willie said, you know, let's roll our sleeves up this year. And let's get out of here. Amen. Because Jesus said he wasn't going to drink or eat until we come back. Right. He's going to eat it with us. Amen. He thought so much of us, Brother William, he's not going to eat or drink any of this until he does it with me and you. He was looking forward when he picked that cup up. He was looking at the people in the upper room, but he was looking at a bride that was inside of him. But like you said, now he's in the bride. And we are partaking of what he has said right here. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank God for that. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just take a few moments of silent prayer. Tarry, prophet of God said, pray for your pastor. Lord, we ask you just bless, Lord, the ones in this building, the ones, Lord, on the internet, the little bride all around the world, Lord. We pray that you would touch each one and that this year would be a true communion, Lord, closer to you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took the bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this bread, Lord, as it's made by holy hands, Lord. It's not made with any extra ingredients, Lord, but it's your body and it was broken for us, Lord. This do in remembrance, Lord, of you, Father. We take this, Lord, and we ask you to sanctify it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just think, 50 years. I was 11 years old. Terrence was about...
I wasn't even born.
Yes, you were, 1964. Anna was not. Anna was roaming around in the loins of Abraham over here. But just think how we've come this far, though.
Right.
And not just our natural family, but church families all come together. And we just consider everybody one. We don't, I like what Brother Claude always says. He says, there's no great ones among us.
That's right.
There is no great ones, no big eyes, no little U's. Right. We have offices that we have to go, that we have to do.
Right.
But other than that, we're all human beings trying to live a good human life, like you said, and let the Lord direct us in what we do.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless this wine. Lord, it gets better with age. And Father, we pray, Lord, that the Word of God this year will truly get better with age, Lord. We've all come up to a time now, Lord, where we're all getting physically older, but I pray, Lord, that we'll grow up in you in that statue of a perfect man this year, Lord. That we'll not be children running to and fro, Lord, as the Bible says, Lord, but we'll be able to eat strong meat, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That this thing will culminate, Lord, in a bride that'll stand on her feet and have the Word of God to speak through her mouth.
Hallelujah.
Father, we ask, Lord, the power of this wine, Lord, as we partake it, Lord, that it'll just take and sanctify each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as they're giving out the communion, it's been a privilege to stand in front of y'all this year. From my perspective, it's been wonderful to see the young people grow. See Brother Zach go from disappearing to sitting on the front row. That's the way I did. I disappeared for a while. And, you know, you can only run so far. If you're a child of God, he's got the hook in you. You just don't know it. So, but to see the young people, like the song that I asked Sister Trudy, I heard that song, and I don't want to get browbeat up here, but contemporary songs are not bad. I like Southern gospel, but like that song, it you think, you read, you look at the words. The words of that song, he turns graves into gardens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's not a human being can do that.
That's right.
No human can take a grave and make a garden out of it.
Right. Amen.
There's no human can take a sea and make a highway like he did with at the Red Sea. There's no man can't do that.
No.
Man might be able to burrow under it, but they're not going to be able to part it and make it where 2 million people can walk across on dry land.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Only God can do that.
He's
the only one that can do it. But as Brother William said, though, he uses instruments. He is now in human flesh in a bride. And he can turn graves into gardens. And take bones. Can these dry bones live? Only one man can make them live. But that man's not in heaven. That man's standing inside of you today. And like I told him, Brother Withers, the other day, I said, we don't know what's going on next year. Nobody knows. The world is just mystified.
Right.
But the one inside of you does know what's going to happen next year.
Right.
Let it speak. Let that thing out.
Amen.
And let it do its work.
Glory.
Listen to that inner man. Don't worry about all, like you said, don't worry about Dr. So-and-so. We talk to Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
And we use his prescription book, the gospel.
Amen.
You know, we don't take no pill but the gospel.
Amen. Glory.
Thank you, brother. I remember Daddy used to make, he still makes wine for the church. This is his this is his wine, but when we were first in 71 and on to that, you know, you make about a quart a year. Now he makes about a gallon every 3 months because we take communion, you know, every month, but we have a lot of people take communion. So God bless you. Hope you all have a wonderful year. I know we've missed some, but you know what? We're going to see them again.
Amen.
And they're in much better shape than we are. We're just parted just for a little while. But they're there.
Amen.
They're more real than we are.
That's right.
We just got it. They're more real than we are.
Yes,
and I hope that God lets them look over the portal every once in a while and look down and say, come on, bride.
Amen.
Come on, bride.
Amen.
We want to do this
Amen.
With you.
Right.
We want to do this with you here.
Because
this is our possession. Let's take our communion.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.